God is good. We thank the Lord for His goodness. That does not change. That's why we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, as it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And as that verse, that song, of course, thinking of Joseph and in Genesis chapter 50, when his brothers were wondering if he was going to take retribution on them after their father had passed away. And they expressed that concern, and Joseph, of course, said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good to save much people alive as it is this day. So thank the Lord for His goodness. If you would turn with me to 1 Samuel tonight, 1 Samuel chapter number 1. That's where our text will be, 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Hope you will stop by our table in the back there and pick up a prayer card and pray for us, and we would be pleased very appreciative if you would pray for us, because when you pray, God moves and God works. And thank the Lord for His response to the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman. And so do pray for us. If you have questions, we'll be back there after the service. You're certainly welcome to bend our ear about something. And if you're curious about the ministry or about Norway, Norway or anything there, and then, of course, Canada as well. We're excited about being in British Columbia. 1 Samuel chapter 1, I want to think about this thought tonight, a mother's promise of faith. Hannah, a mother's promise of faith. Notice verse 1, we'll read down through verse 11. Now there was a certain man of Ramathim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up, after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore, and she vowed a vow. Notice this verse, verse 11. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would direct our hearts and minds, that your Holy Spirit might work in each of our hearts, that we would be focused and our minds would be focused on what you have for each one of us tonight. And Lord, each one of us have different needs. And Lord, I pray that you would teach us from thy word, encourage our hearts, and prod us on to do more for the cause of Christ here and around the world. Thank you for the story of Hannah and her faith, and I pray that we would have that same kind of faith that she had, and a faith that would promise to do what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that you'd bless tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be together in fellowship around thy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So here we have Hannah, and you know her story, a very common Sunday school story, if you've grown up in Sunday school, of course. But Hannah here, as we see her, was a woman who knew the Lord and worshipped him. Here in verse 7, notice that says, as he did so year by year, this is speaking of her husband, Elkanah, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Each year she went up with her husband to Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, and she would worship there with her husband. And she knew the Lord. And so she went there every year. She prayed to the Lord. There in verse 10, we see that she's speaking to the Lord. And she prayed unto the Lord and wept before him, pouring out her heart to Jehovah God there. And she approached the Lord, as we see in verse 11, really with great humility. And she gave her own self to the Lord as a servant. Notice verse 11 again. She vowed a vow and said to the Lord of hosts, if thou indeed look on the affliction of, notice this phrase, thine handmaid. And she says that a couple times. And remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child. What's she saying when she says thine handmaid? Well, she's saying, Lord, I'm your servant. A handmaid is simply a servant. And so she's saying, Lord, I'm just your servant. And I'm coming before you. If you would grant this request, I'm going to make a promise to you. If you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you. And that promise that she made. And she made this promise in faith as a humble servant of God, one that is worshiping the Lord. And we must do the same as we approach missions and all of our service for Christ, really. But as we approach missions giving in particular, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, the Apostle Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to look at the Macedonian churches as an example of how they should give. Notice, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, where it says this, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, having a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, those things don't seem to go together, do they? A great trial of affliction, then the abundance of their joy. But they do go together in faith and in the Lord's power. And then their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Those things don't seem to go together either. But in God's power and by grace, they can. And they did in the case of the churches of Macedonia. So verse 3 says, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. So to their power, what does that mean? Well, they gave what they could. They looked at their budget. They looked in their wallet and said, well, I can give this much. But then it says, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They were able to give beyond their power. Now, how's that possible? Well, it's only possible by the grace of God. Notice what they did. In verse 4, it says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. But it says they were willing of themselves. They had a willing heart, and then they praying us that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, not just do what they were asked of, but it says, but first, here's the key, but first gave their own selves unto the Lord and unto us. And this, notice the last phrase, by the will of God. See, this was God's will for them. But they said, Lord, here we are. We're going to give ourselves to you to serve you, to do whatever you can do through us. And they were able to do a great thing. And Paul's encouraging the church there at Corinth to do the same. But Hannah was a woman who knew the Lord. She worshipped him and she made this promise of faith. And that brings us to that second promise. She made that promise of faith to the Lord. And I believe as she came here year by year to the tabernacle, and as she lived there in Israel during the time of the judges, she realized there was a needy condition both of her nation and of the house of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, we see in verse 12, it talks about the sons of Eli. Eli was there, of course, the priest. But it says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Now, they were standing as the priest. They were operating as the priest. Yet they did not know the Lord. Is it possible for someone to stand in the pulpit of an independent fundamental Baptist church and not know Christ? It is. I have a friend that met a few years ago that lives in Bonners Ferry, Idaho. And he thought he was saved. He thought he was called to the mission field. He raised support to go to Canada as a church planting missionary. He went to Canada and he said, Brother Dwight, I worked and I worked and I worked and nothing happened. And he said, one night in my study, the Lord smote my heart and helped me realize I had never trusted Christ as Savior. And he said, I bowed my head and got on my knees and asked Christ to save me that night. And he said, after that, everything changed. People started getting saved. The church was established and the Lord blessed in a great way. We need to make sure we're saved. We can't serve God by outside of faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, the Bible says. So she promised, Hannah here promised something to the Lord by faith that she did not possess and which could only be supplied by God's grace. And so she didn't possess it. She didn't possess a son. She tried all that she could humanly to have a son, and it didn't work. But she could only do that by God's grace. And we promise as well in this area of faith promise missions to trust God to supply, just like the folk there in Macedonia. Thirdly, Hannah gave what she had promised. When God did supply the son, God did answer her prayer, of course. Remember, as she prayed there, Eli heard her praying, or didn't hear her. He saw her lips moving, and he rebuked her, thinking that she was drunk. And she said, "Oh, no, I'm just a woman in bitterness of soul, and I'm praying unto the Lord." And so Eli said, "Well, the Lord grant your request." And the Lord did. She had a son. He was born, and she raised him and brought him to the tabernacle, of course, when he was weaned. She had a great desire to be a mother. And God answered her prayer, and when God gave her that son, she lent him back to the Lord for his whole life. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24. It says, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young." So she goes up with her son and with a sacrifice, an offering to the Lord, to worship the Lord and to thank him. But then in verse 25, they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him." Now notice verse 28. "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Now, her language has changed a little bit. Remember back in verse 11, where she said, "If thou wilt look on the affliction of thy handmaid and not forget thy handmaid, and give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." Here she says, "I have lent him unto the Lord all the days of his life." And so think about this. You see, here's a mother, and you mothers that are sitting here know this. When you have a child, that child, no matter how old they get, no matter where they are in the world, they are still your child. They're a part of you. And here Hannah, before she had a son, she said, "Lord, I'll give him to you the rest of his life." Now she says, "Lord, I'm keeping my promise, but I'm lending him to you for the rest of his life." She had a part in Samuel, and she had a part in that gift that she's giving to the Lord. Part of her stayed there at the tabernacle. And as we give to the Lord, think about this. As you give to missions, and someone gets saved in Canada, or someone gets saved in Norway, or somebody gets saved in Africa or South America, or wherever it may be that missionary is serving, the Lord adds that to your account. You have a part of that ministry that is there on the mission field. As you pray for that missionary, you have a part in that ministry. You have a part in those that get saved. And the Lord keeps account. He has put that on your account as Paul wrote to the Philippians. He said, "Not that I desire a gift," when he was talking about their giving. He said, but "I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And that's the way the Lord works. He gives grace in that way. But she lends him. And let me ask you this question this evening, as parents especially: does your missions giving by faith extend to your children? Does your missions giving by faith extend to your children? Are you willing to say, "Lord, if you would take my child and use them in the ministry or use them on the mission field somewhere around the world, I'm willing to let them go. I'm willing to be a part of their going." Even if that might mean them serving in a faraway place, not seeing you for 4 years at a time or even more than that. But the Lord wants us to do that, to be willing to do that. There's a hymn that speaks to that, that we sing sometimes, an old, very old missions hymn that's called "O Zion Haste." I want to read the words to that, and I want you to think about them as I read them as a poem. It says, "O Zion Haste, thy mission high fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that he who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of light or night. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. Behold, how many thousands still are lying bound in the darksome prison house of sin, with none to tell them of the Savior's dying or of the life He died for them to win. Proclaim to every people, tongue, and nation that God, in whom they live and move, is love. Tell how He stooped to save His lost creation and died on earth that we might live above. 'Tis thine to save from peril of perdition the souls of whom the Lord, for whom the Lord His life laid down. Beware lest, slothful of thy mission, thou lose one jewel that should bedeck His crown. And then this verse speaks about our children. It says, give of thy sons to bear the message glorious. Give of thy wealth to speed them on their way. Pour out thy soul for them in prayer victorious. O Zion, haste to bring the brighter day. Publish glad tidings, tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release. We give by faith, trusting God to supply our need, as He promises to do in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to 19. As Paul wrote to them, he said, now you Philippians know also the beginning of the gospel. When I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Evidently at that point, the Philippian church was his only supporting church for that time. And he goes on, verse 16, says, for even Thessalonica he sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound and full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But then the promise that goes along with their giving and their helping in reaching the people of Thessalonica, as he mentions there in verse 19, is this. And sometimes we pull this verse out of context. But the context is giving to missions, giving for the furtherance of the gospel. And it says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The promise is there that God, if I will give by faith, God's going to supply my need. And He does that. The Lord brought that to my, taught me that lesson a few years after I started teaching in the Christian school at our sending church in Fairmont, West Virginia. We'd had our missions conference in May. And the Lord laid on my heart a figure. I was praying, Lord, what would you have me do as far as faith promise this year? And the Lord laid a figure on my heart of increasing. And I kind of, you ever had an argument with the Holy Spirit? Well, I had one with Him. And of course, I was making a lot of money as a Christian school teacher. And I had this little argument that, with the Holy Spirit, said, Lord, I've been saving money for a suit and putting this much by every paycheck. And if I start giving that amount, I'm not going to have that to set by. And the Lord said, no, go ahead. And I trusted the Lord. I started giving. And about two or three months later, my pastor came by my door after school and said, Brother Talbot, would you like some bananas? And I said, well, I don't really like bananas all that well, but I'll take a few. And he said, well, somebody gave us several cases of bananas, and we've got to eat them. We've got to get rid of them or they're going to go bad. And he said, here, take half a case. So I'm thinking, what in the world am I going to do with half a case of bananas? And so I thought, well, I'm going to my grandmother's for supper tonight. So I started driving to Mannington to see my grandmother. And I thought, well, I'll give her some. I'll give my aunt some. And I'm praying, Lord, who would you have me stop and give bananas to? And He laid Mrs. Hart on my mind, a lady who was a pastor's wife. And he had died 2 months before that, an elderly gentleman. And I stopped by and took some bananas up to her door, knocked on her door and said, hello, Mrs. Hart, how you doing? Since the funeral and since your husband died, she said, well, not real well. I'm kind of sad. And I said, I brought you some bananas. And she said, oh, I love bananas. And I said, well, I'll get you some more. So I got another bunch and brought them up and went in and sat down with her for a few minutes and visited and tried to encourage her a little bit. And I got up to leave and I said, well, I've got to get to my grandmother. She's expecting me for supper. And I got to the door and started out the door. And she said, Dwight, could you use a suit? And I said, well, yes. And she said, well, you're about the same size as my husband. Why don't you go back in the bedroom there and look in the closet and see if you can find a suit that you like and try it on. So I went back in the bedroom, found one I liked and put it on and it fit well. I went, showed it to her. And she said, wow, that looks good on you. It's yours. So I went back, took the suit off and got back to the door again with the suit, ready to go out the door. And I got almost out the door. She said, Dwight, why don't you just go back and take all of them? And I said, well, I couldn't do that. And she said, that's what the Lord laid on my heart right now. So I went back and started carrying suits out to my truck. and there were 15 suits. Four of them had tags still on them, never been worn. And I started driving to my grandmother's, and the Lord just smote my heart. The Holy Spirit said, "You argued with me about saving money for one suit. I can give you a suit. I can give you 15. Learn to trust me. Learn to trust me." And the Lord wants us to trust Him. Hannah added, and she trusted the Lord. She gave what the Lord gave her, and God blessed her beyond that. She had more sons and daughters, of course, but Hannah added to her investment by faith each year. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, it says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." So each year she took this coat, she added to her investment. She didn't just let Eli take care of Samuel. She helped take care of him. And the Lord blessed there. And the Lord wants us to continue to add to that investment in missions and in service to Him in our local church and in reaching people around the world. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And he said this, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed unto us," there's His grace, "a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." Paul had come to Corinth, okay? And somebody helped him get there. And then he says in verse 15, "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, but having hope," notice this phrase in 1 Corinthians 10:15, "but having hope, when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hands." So Paul encouraged the Corinthian church to let the Lord increase their faith so that they could help him reach people beyond them. And that's what the Lord wants each local church to do, what He wants us to do tonight, to have that faith. And God blessed Hannah as she added to that investment, and her faith was increased. And then God blessed Hannah and her nation, lastly this evening, as a result of her giving by faith. God blessed Hannah, but also God blessed her nation as a result of her giving by faith. Here's a little lady who saw a need in the tabernacle. She saw a need in her nation. She thought, "Well, if God gave me a son, I'd just give him back to the Lord to serve." And God used Samuel in a great way. God blessed her with more children. 1 Samuel 2:21, "The Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters." That's beyond Samuel, okay? "And the child Samuel grew before the Lord, and God blessed the nation through Samuel. The last of the judges, as he ministered as a priest in the tabernacle, he became the first circuit riding preacher." Remember, it talks about him riding from place to place and teaching the Word of God throughout Israel. "And as he led the nation of Israel, and then finally as he anointed David as king." And so we see Samuel being a great blessing to the people of Israel, but Samuel would not have been there had not it been for the faith of this little lady who said, "Lord, I want to have a son. And if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And she did. Let me ask you this couple questions tonight. Number one, are you participating in reaching people for Christ right here through your local church? Are you a witness? Are you telling people about the Lord? Secondly, are you participating in the missions program of this church, giving by grace, letting the Lord increase your faith to give what He lays on your heart and what He will supply if you'll trust Him? Are you letting the Lord increase your faith over time, as Paul encouraged the Corinthian church? And then are you qualified to be involved? Are you saved? Hannah knew the Lord. And she trusted Him. She dedicated her life to Him. She said, "Lord, I'm just your handmaid. I want to be used of you." Have you said to the Lord, "Lord, here's my life. If I look at it, it doesn't look like much. But Lord, if you can use my life, you can use my body, you can use my mouth, Lord, would you use me? I'm going to give myself to you." Just as the Philippian church there says, they first gave their own selves unto the Lord by the will of God. Have you said to the Lord, "Lord, I'm yours to use for your glory, and I'm yours to use in this local church to help my church reach the world with the gospel?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for Hannah. Thank you for her faith. Thank you for the promise of faith that she made and how you used her to do a great thing. And Lord, you used her son to do great things in Israel. Thank you for this great testimony of this woman. And Lord, I pray that we each would have that heart that she had, that would say, Lord, I'm just your handmaid. I'm just your servant. And Lord, I want you to be used. I want you to use me. I want you to be glorified in my life. I need your grace. I need your help. And Lord, would you use me for your glory and help me to reach others for Christ. Lord, I pray that you bless this church in a great way. Thank you for what you've done in the past. But Lord, we know that you have great things to do in and through this local church in the future. May you be glorified here, we pray, in each of these folk, in Jesus' name. Amen.